So let's call the meeting to order. We've got our quorum and it's 12:01. Can everybody take a peek at January 12th minutes and call for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments on them? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any public comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. President's comments. Just like to encourage people, the WALDAB is the Wisconsin Association of Local Boards of Health and Health Officers is looking for members and a member for Southern Wisconsin. And NALBO will be putting out a call for nominations for the National Board for Local Health Departments. This is my last year on it, so I will be going off in August. So we would like a representation from Wisconsin or the Midwest. So if anybody's interested, contact me. Those are two-year terms on NALBO. No other comments on my part. Corporate counsel, are we on? Doesn't look like it. Okay.
Hey, Diane?
Yes.
I'm not sure if we, do we need actually a second or a separate motion to, because there was really two meetings last month. So does each have to, each set of minutes have to be approved individually or not?
I don't know.
Probably yes.
That'd be my guess. That's what we used to do.
According to Robert's Rules of Order, it needs a second motion for each one.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to that and we'll do the.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Minutes for the reorganization meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion for the general meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. On to health officer report.
All right. Thank you. I have a lot of updates for you. So I'm going to just use my little notes here. So right now there are two testing places in Kenosha County, which is much less than we used to have. There is no shortage of supplies. There is a shortage of demand. So there is still plenty of testing to be had. The two places are the Kenosha Community Health Center, which is operating out of the old Chase Bank downtown, doing about 260 some odd tests per week. And then at UW Parkside, they're doing the rapid antigen test and the PCR confirmatory tests at UWP. And they're doing around 100, 125 a day. So that generalizes to about 200 per day, which is fairly low. It doesn't give us the information we need to really, you know, see where the virus is spreading in Kenosha County, but we still need to encourage and want people to go get tested if they have any signs of any symptoms. And hopefully more people can get tested so we can continue to track and trend that. We still don't have any variants in Kenosha County that we know of or that have been tested. But surely with how spreadable they are, it's only a matter of time. Our death rates are still way too high. We continue to have, you know, at least one death a day, sometimes two on average. So the virus is still out there and we need people to be really vigilant and continue to be cautious. Our website has been updated and it has more stats and more will be coming on vaccination as soon as it is not as identifiable given the populations that we are serving for vaccination. And we also have on the website our places where people can sign up to get an appointment. And when I say people who can sign up to get an appointment, I mean the 65 plus population and still the 1A healthcare providers, those who work in law enforcement, fire, and corrections. Those are the only ones that have been approved to date. 1B has not opened up yet, and I think they're largely getting rid of the language of 1B and 1C because the 65 plus population was 1C technically. So now they're just sort of gating groups to come in. March 1st is for both the education sector and the childcare sectors. So the rest of those groups in the original 1B, I don't project will probably get opened up until mid-March. So that would be the grocery store workers, other essential workers, manufacturing plants. And that is just my projection, given that we haven't heard word on those yet. So all of those groups and categories are listed on the website, so people know exactly who's in the 1A category, who's eligible for vaccine right now, and then where they can sign up for appointments. There are now 8 places that are offering vaccination within Kenosha County. So all of that information is on there. That is good. And while vaccine supply is still very low, we're still working very hard to get the vaccine we get out into arms by Friday of each week. So none is carried over to the following week. We also now have a call center, and there will be press and media on that today. This is something we have been working on since the 65 plus announcement was made, that for all of those who do not have internet or email, they can use the call center to call and sign up for an appointment. So we are desperately trying to remove any of the equity barriers that existed when it was solely online. And that call center number is 262-605-6799. And so, as I said, press release will go out on that very shortly. And we have already, as we were training and getting people ramped up since last Wednesday, we are now at about 150 calls a day, and that's before advertising it. So we project that it will be quite the busy call center, and we continue to add more staff to that so that we can handle the volume for Kenosha County. Number of doses. We are getting about 2,000 doses per week, and that's first-time doses. In addition, we're getting all of the secondary doses from 4 weeks ago for Moderna or 3 weeks ago for Pfizer when we had that. We only had Pfizer for 1 week. Largely, we're getting mostly Moderna in the health department. And we're able to get all 2,000 of those in arms by Friday at the close of clinics. So we have a very well-oiled machine now that we're operating out of the job center, where we're vaccinating and receiving so much positive feedback and positive response. It's a really good morale boost and soul feed to work these clinics for the public who's coming. They're very eager and excited to get vaccinated. And so it's some really good, some good medicine going on there on both fronts. We have the National Guard, who we are calling in each day to help supply us workforce for our clinics. So they're largely doing either the registration station or word data entry on the back end. And so that has been a huge help. We're very grateful for the National Guard there. We are also pulling a number of volunteers out of Weaver, which is the Wisconsin Emergency Assistance Volunteer Registry. And we're getting a number of questions from the community, retired nurses and doctors, et cetera, who would like to work in our clinics. And we are sending everybody through the Weaver, which is weavrwi.org. And that is where we're sending all people to go through. It basically assesses skill level, bilingual, can you stand on your feet for 12 hours, whatever. And that's then when we're going to pull anybody who's from Kenosha County out to sign up to work in our clinics. So that's how we're handling that. Lots of good people, lots of good response from that. The Weaver does a free background check for us and checks licenses and who's in good standing and that sort of thing. So they do all of that background early work for us before we pull them out. So many, many volunteers. We're very grateful because this cannot be done alone. We are looking at, and I shouldn't say looking, we have very detailed plans in place for mass clinics, or what you might hear as being called broader community clinics. that are even larger than 2,000 doses a week, such as what we're doing now. So those plans are in place and ready to roll as soon as we get the supply of vaccine up above 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 per week, so that we will be able to get many more Kenosha residents through. And so it's really just a supply issue, and we're ready to move on a variety of different fronts depending upon the supply we get and the gating criteria as far as who is open at that time. For example, we have met with all of our districts, the 11 districts in Kenosha County, and all of our child care centers to discuss the March 1st gating opening for them and how we'll get them through. And plans are in place and clinics are being planned to. And sorry, John Moyer just texted and said he's not able to get into the meeting for some reason. So we're working on all the people as the gating criteria opens up. The birth to three program was also opened up last week. And that is for any parents or caregivers of a child who's in the birth to three program. They are now eligible for vaccine as well too. So so different groups keep opening up and we accommodate. So we are working and planning with all of them. And then just to sort of make a clarification known, because I know that there are several rumors that we're circumventing on the internet, is that our vaccination clinics are for Kenosha County residents, 65 plus, and in the 1A category, or people in those categories who work in Kenosha County. As we know, many people work in Kenosha County and are able to spread COVID in our county, but live over the border, you know, in another neighboring county. So we're trying our best to discourage any non-residents, and some, yes, may have slipped through, but we are working to crack down on that. And while we wanna get as many shots in arms as possible, it's really for Kenosha County residents. That's our priority. So just wanted to put that out there as well. In non-COVID news, we do have the two new public health strategists on board now. So one is solely working on health equity and especially equity around the COVID response. So we now have an equity committee and are really working on how we're going to reach all of our vulnerable populations, whether it's those who don't have internet or email access, as well as those who have a higher level of vaccine hesitancy or concern with government and the like. So lots of good efforts going on around that. Our other strategist is through the Narcan grant and is now helping to co-chair the broader opioid task force and really bringing back a substance abuse prevention component to the health department. So we're very excited about that. And we are still moving forward on our electronic medical record, which I shouldn't say we've stalled on it because of COVID vaccination clinics, which are consuming our days, but it is still progressing forward. So we are still looking forward to this year to getting that new EMR. We so desperately need it in order to make our clinics and our operations and our billing more functioning. And the last piece is that last fall, I had reported out we had begun to work on an internal strategic plan for the health department. And the goal is this spring to continue that work. We have so far chosen a new vision, mission, strategies, and two goals over the next 3 years that will now become, instead of a 5-year strategic plan, a 3-year strategic plan. And we will be working with you all to help us hammer out the details further down into the action and task items of those two goals. And I will be sharing that as well with you, because it's a lot of words, but I can either post it in the chat or we'll post it in the minutes to make sure that you have all of that and more work to come with all of you on that in the future as we brand the health department and work toward our future on that realm. So with that, I'll stop my voice and answer any questions.
Hi, Jen. This is Rita. And I just wanted to give you some more positive feedback. I actually flew my dad home for his vaccine. He's a snowbird. And he could not say enough about the efficiency of the whole process and how welcoming everyone was, and that it was a really good experience. So I just wanted to pass that on. My second question is how are they going about scheduling the second vaccine for people who are coming to the health department? And let's say that somebody has their first vaccine at the pharmacy. Can they still go into the health department for a second one? I've had a few questions about that.
First of all, thanks to your dad. That's very nice. We love all the positive feedback. We'll take it. And, you know, it's been a long 11 and a half months. So any positive feedback is really fueling us right now. So the second dose, excellent question, because we continue to try to get this message out. So anything you can do to help educate and share is much appreciated. Second doses is an automatic guaranteed spot. We are not scheduling them at the time of the first doses simply because COVID doesn't allow us to plan that far ahead. So it wants us to plan only a week in advance. So that's where the week before or the week of, when we know we have those second doses in our cold little freezer, that we, however the person signed up is how they will receive the link for their second doses. So if somebody signed up, sign up or via a link, they will receive an email with a new link just for second doses. So they have a guaranteed dose, they have a guaranteed spot. If someone signed up by calling the call center who doesn't have email or internet, they will receive a call back for their second doses. So pretty much that second dose is scheduled the week before or the week of, when we know we have doses, via the same method that they, whether it's email or phone call, that they signed up for their first dose on. And I hope that makes sense.
It does. I guess, you know, from a personal standpoint, I need to fly my dad back for his second shot. And obviously, you know, flights vary in price. And by being able to like book one earlier, is there any way for people to schedule that ahead of time?
So it's pretty much on the day 28, assuming that he was there for the Moderna week and not the Pfizer week. It's been pretty much on day 21 or 28. And obviously, we don't want to do a day before day 21 or 28. But the research has come out that up to day 42 does not mean that beyond day 42 is bad. It's just that the research has gone to say that your second dose could be between day 28 and 42 with most effectiveness. So anytime between there, but really we're getting them as close to day 28 as possible. So it's a pretty safe bet you could plan for that.
Okay, thank you.
And then what
about the other question that people have asked as far as having one shot at the pharmacy and then can they follow up as long as it's the same brand?
Yep. So we discourage that. And the reason for that, we won't not do it, but we discourage it because the feds send us the exact amount of doses. So exactly 4 weeks ago today, however many doses we put into arms is exactly how many they're going to send us 4 weeks from now. So if too many people start switching and going to other places, it will misalign the count. We will end up with extra second doses and then have them sitting in our freezer not knowing is that person just not coming back or are they going to come back closer to day 42. So it's hard for us to know then if that person did get their second dose somewhere else and we're just still sitting on and holding onto their dose waiting for them to come back, or if some people come to us who started out at some other place like a pharmacy or ZoomyCare or whatnot, then their count is off. So it really is all based on the number of doses. So we highly, highly encourage people to go back to where they got their first dose because that's an automatic shipment to them.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Jen, just a couple of things. Why do you think the testing is down?
I wish I had that magic answer. I do think the focus is on vaccination now. We are constantly hearing from people in the community that feel like, you know, even though they may not have gotten a shot, that vaccination's here, so we're out of the woods. You know, more and more people I keep hearing are kind of back to where we were last spring of like, oh, this is just allergies, or oh, this is just bronchitis. And, you know, so just the same messaging, like, go get tested. We can't definitively, you can't call that. So I think the COVID fatigue and, you know, pandemic fatigue and all of that. I mean, I think there's all the reasons, all the above that are playing into that low testing. I mean, certainly the fact that we don't have as much, as many opportunities spread across the county, you know, west of the eye is still a testing desert. And, you know, so that probably plays into it too. And the reason we don't have National Guard back for testing is because we simply did not have a facility that met their approved list. So it's unfortunate, but there are still two places and they have plenty of supply.
Other things, I have been helping out a little bit with our vaccine clinic here. We've had to close a couple of days because of lack of supply. We had an issue with syringes. We had to switch syringes at one point because they were shorting some of the vials were then ending up with only 4 doses instead of 5, which was a problem.
We had a syringe issue too, only ours were coming bent or were not screwed on well enough. So we have had some needle supply issues. We reported that through McKesson, the company, and we've reported that to the state. And now we are purchasing all new needles that are much better and higher quality. So we are not using what the feds are sending us any longer because of that. Right, Julia?
We've had a major issue with patients sharing codes because they get an invitation code. We had one where a teacher got it and shared it with the school.
Yep.
So that's become a real issue because then they get online and they schedule and they're not even our patient and they're not meeting criteria. So that's become a problem. With working it, I agree. These over 65 are ecstatic about getting their shots. They're loving it. And we are not seeing reactions. We're not seeing significant reactions in the immediate half hour that they're there. Would you like Board of Health members to try to log into Weaver and help out?
I'll take ya. Come on. I will take all of you. And if any of you just want to tour through the clinic, I would love to just give you the tour and show you how we're functioning if you haven't been there and all of that. But absolutely, we'll take any and all of you as volunteers. And we too are, you know, we're a little bit different as a government entity. You know, the vaccine's free. We're not billing. You know, so we have different open abilities where, you know, for us, it's really as simple of a process as possible, you know, and we want to get to the point when supply is there that anyone can, you know, get it. So as soon as we can sort of get enough supply, get out of this gating, you know, that's where we will really look to those broader mass clinics. And so it is hard because I know that people are very eager. It's a good problem to have, but then they're spreading codes or, you know, falsifying their information and getting through. And yeah, teachers are not allowed until March 1st. So I know that that's been an issue, but they're being taken care of through a whole variety of methods. So I know that there are appointments being made and they're taken care of.
What are your hours of the current clinic and days? And what do you think will be the hours for the mass clinic?
So we have had to adjust on the fly because we, you know, we fill out the survey on Mondays in order to say how much can we deliver in the following week. And sometimes we don't get the confirmation until Friday, Saturday, sometimes even Sunday night. So literally on a Sunday night, when we find out this is how much vaccine we're getting for that week, we are quickly ramping up on Sunday night to figure out how many days, how many doses, what are our human resources, what are our supply issues, and replanning once a week. So we started out on Wednesdays and Fridays from 9 to 3. We tested out a Saturday, got lukewarm response. We tested out an evening clinic on a Friday, lukewarm response. We next week will be doing 2 noon to 6 p.m. clinics simply because of Tuesday's voting. And that happens in the same building as our clinic. So we've had to shift around for that. But typically our clinics are now Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 3. We don't like to go beyond 6 hours because especially for our vaccinators, that's a very long day. So I don't want to increase the chance of error or mistakes with that long of a shift. So 6 hours has been our sweet spot, and that's how we've been operating. We decrease the amount of appointments during the lunch hour so that people can stagger and go take their lunch. But we stay open essentially through that time. And yeah, it's been working really well. I feel like we're a pretty well-oiled machine. We've worked out a lot of kinks. And after every single clinic, we're process improving and continuous quality improvement too. Better for the next day. So it's ongoing.
When you've got a vial at the end, do you call people to finish it off?
Absolutely. So the biggest mortal sin is don't waste any doses. So we start going down the list of any 1A providers we know that had missed the boat earlier and are trying to get in, any 65 plus that we know that need to get in. So we are, you know, going down the list and literally making calls at the end of the day to make sure, you know, who can get in and get those doses in people.
Okay, good.
So Jen, you said you're not billing at all for it then?
No, we had tried to bill in the past, like especially during H1N1 in 2009 and other things. And they insurance companies don't typically want to work with small guys like us.
Oh, all right.
So it turns out to be a much, much bigger ordeal. So the state I know is heavily pushing for health departments to be able to bill, but I think there's maybe one or two in the entire state that were able to do that. We weren't able to do that.
Yeah, I think that Freighter South was sort of a, if you have coverage and we can easily do it, we're billing for administration.
Yep.
But yeah, I
yep.
mean, so.
Yeah. Oh. And we tried to go that route, but it just wasn't feasible.
For us, that's so. Fine. Okay, thanks.
Yep. It makes our clinics more simple. We don't have to get all that extra information.
No,
simple is the name of the game. Simple, safe, okay. And effective.
Anybody else with questions? Okay, so why don't we go back to John with corporate counsel report?
Sorry, I'm having trouble technologically today. I couldn't get in. Apologize. I don't really have anything new to report, especially with regard to COVID. I worked with the lead department and will be ongoing on fixing up or making some improvements to contracts for that program. So I'm streamlining some of the paperwork so that we don't have issues when there's a dispute, which we had one time last year and it was a major headache. So other than that, I don't have anything else to report. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else with any questions, comments, any other business?
I just have a quick comment, John O'Day. Last night on the email, I got my second confirmation filled out for next Thursday, the second shot of Pfizer. And one of the ex-supervisors, Alberman, was there. He was very ecstatic how it was all worked out. Thank you.
I've had my two doses, and yeah, the first one, I did the Moderna. First one, sore arm. Second one, backache. Second one, big variation in what reaction people get. Most people are having body aches. A few people are having fever and chills and vomiting. Any other comments, questions? All right. So I encourage everybody to help out. It is fun. Take a walk through the clinic, see what you can do. I opted not to do a vaccinator because, like I say, I haven't done a shot in 25 years. So I played runner. So I was escorting people from one station to another, and it worked out really well. So, and it's kind of funny because we are getting people from, we had one from Sturgeon Bay the other day, because the elderly, if as long as they're in our system, they're getting on and getting it wherever they can. And they're willing to drive. Right. So looks like we're about done. Nice short meeting. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Someone.
Second.
Somebody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
By the way, thank you.